Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, on this day, you revealed your Son to the nations by the leading of a star. Lead us now by faith to know your presence in our lives, and bring us at last to the full vision of your glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and the glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephrah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 72 responsively. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son, that he may rule your place righteously, and the poor with justice. That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people, and the hills in righteousness. Let him live as long as the sun and moon endure from one generation to another. Let him come down. In his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace, till the moon shall be no more.
May the king's heart receive, and the kings of Sheba and Seba offer gifts.
May all the kings bow down before him, and all the nations do him service.
For the king delivers the poor, who cries out in distress, the oppressed, those who have no helper.
He has compassion on the lowly and poor, and preserves the needs the lives of the needy.
For oppression and violence he redeems his lives, precious in his blood. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning.
From Ephesians. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am very least of all the saints, this grace has given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
What did you get for Christmas? Did you get the perfect gift? I think that a lot of people didn't. I heard a report on the radio that the busiest day for Amazon was the day after Christmas, when everyone was returning all of the gifts that they got. And the busiest time in the mall, at the customer service desk, where everyone was going to return that gift that they didn't get, or I mean that they got that they didn't want. It seems like everybody wants to return something. You know, there's a lot of jokes about the gifts that the wise men brought to the baby Jesus. I've heard it said that if it had been wise women, the gifts would have been a casserole, a box of diapers, and a coupon for a massage. Much more appropriate gifts for a baby and a new mother. I saw a Christmas card, and it had a picture of the crèche scene and the kings offering their gifts, and the baby Jesus pointing beyond the kings saying, "I want the camel." Even Jesus wants to make an exchange. Maybe I should have asked a different question at the beginning of the sermon. Instead of "What did you get for Christmas?" maybe I should ask, "What did you give for Christmas? Did you give any perfect gifts?" Or maybe even a better question for a sermon would be, "What does the Christ child want for his birthday gift from you?" I think that the gift that Jesus wants from us is the gift of receiving. You ask any child, "What is your favorite part of Christmas?" And I bet you'll hear getting presents. And we're happy when they grow up a little bit and mature and they start thinking more about others than just themselves, when they start thinking about what they're giving as well. And so, you know, really, what is the right emphasis? So much of our time and effort goes into us giving gifts. And that's good. It's a sign of maturing and a sign of generosity. But the heart of Christmas is not about us giving gifts. It's about God giving to us. God giving, us receiving. The gift that Jesus wants from us is that we would open our hands to receive his love and mercy, to receive his forgiveness, to receive his very self in the body and blood, in the bread and wine of the Eucharist. The Epiphany reading from the letter to the Ephesians announces that we are fellow heirs, members of the same body, sharers in the promise that of Christ Jesus through the gospel. This is one of the mysteries of Epiphany, that we are made through Christ to be both the one who brings our gifts to offer him and to be the ones who receive the gift of God's grace ourselves, the boundless riches of Christ. And the riches of Christ are indeed boundless. And yet we spend so much time trying to define them. We want to name the riches of Christ. Happiness, wealth, security, salvation. We like to put labels. God's grace, the light of Christ, shines in our darkness. To be a light of thanksgiving, to be a light of Eucharist. The word Eucharist means thanksgiving. We're learning a lot of different languages today. Latin, Greek. We are to be stewards of thanks. Stewards of Eucharist. That makes us stewards of the light. The light that shines in the darkness, which the darkness cannot overcome. Through baptism, each of us receives this light of Christ and are given gifts by God. We receive God's gift of the Holy Spirit and grace. And Epiphany seeks to remind us that the life of faith is a life of receiving, a life of accepting and acknowledging, a life of giving thanks for the gifts of God that are freely bestowed upon us, and a life of using those gifts, of employing those gifts to continue the work of Christ, to continue the work of Christmas, the work of bringing light into the world that is covered by thick darkness. Like those wise men who came before us, we are the people who search for the heavens, for the signs of hope and healing, for signs of peace and reconciliation among the peoples of the earth. We look for those shooting traces of light in the black clouds that hover over us and over too many people. Epiphany calls us to be people who look for the light. Look, my mom always said, there's got to be a bright side to this. So look for that bright side, that look for the light that's shining, and be that light that shines in the darkness and in other people's darkness as well. Like Isaiah, we are the people who can imagine that one day we shall rise and be radiant lights. Arise, let your light shine, Isaiah says. Like St. Paul, we are those people who will come to know that even though we are feeling small and unworthy in the great scheme of God's grace and glory, that this grace and glory has been given to us. It is a gift, the ultimate gift. We will come, like the wise man and St. Paul before us, to know that the gift will only have life and meaning when it's taken, blessed, broken, and shared. When the gift is received, it can be used. And there is only one perfect gift, and that is Jesus Christ himself, given for us. The light that can shine only when it is taken and blessed and broken and shared. Isaiah implores us, lift up your eyes and look around. The whole world will see the light. The hearts of all people, all nations will thrill and rejoice, for there is light in our darkness, and that is Christ our Lord. The boundless riches of Christ have been given to us so that we might give them to others, that all people might be reconciled, that all people might be brought together into the light of Christ, and that that light would shine in the darkness and dispel the dark clouds that dwell over us. It's over everywhere. So what did you get for Christmas? Did you get the perfect gift? Here it is. And here it is. The perfect gift given for you. Receive it. Amen.